Okay, scripture time. This is from Matthew 23, 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But they are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted."
Please pray with me. God be in our minds and in our thinking. God be in our hearts and in our loving. God be in our ears and in our listening. May these meditations of my heart be a blessing today. Amen. The fall season is an interesting one for me. It's a time of a lot of transition. School starts, seasons turn, time zones shift. Maybe not for us, but we're still affected by everyone else having to do it. Fall also has some of the most popular birthday months. So, and if you're trying to count backwards, let's just say the holidays really bring people together. So the season is one that also brings me back to a time of reflection. And this is in part supplemented by the holidays, because they fall in fall. Anyway, just last week, we celebrated Dia de los Muertos and Halloween, and many of us gathered for food and games, and we played dress up, and it was incredible. It's my favorite time. Many of you were also able to share the names of your loved ones that have passed away, and that is always, always a special time. And this morning, after the sermon, you will also have a chance to do something similar, but I'll explain that later. So this past Wednesday was also All Saints Day, which is a day that we are reminded to look back at those that have come before us. For Catholics, it's a day to remember the saints, but for us, it's just another opportunity to remember those that are no longer with us. And all of these celebrations of life are vital to our identity as Christians. A core part of our faith is remembering the life and death of Jesus and how important his work in the world was. To remind ourselves that it's not just a spot in heaven that we are seeking, but a way to bring heaven or the kingdom of God to the here and now by creating a world that looks more like heaven. A world where people are fed and have shelter, where everyone has what they need and shares when others do not. A world where even the most harmed among us have the opportunity to heal and to be seen for who they are. All of this requires a lot of work and a lot of self-reflection and a lot of transitions. Talking about transitions, whether they are self-motivated or ones that we are experiencing through the changing seasons, can be difficult. For many of us, it's our faith that keeps us going through those times. During those times, we often remember who God is. Who is God? God is love. God's love is unconditional. God sent Jesus to be with us and to learn to love us more deeply. God chose to grow in love even when humanity has made mistake after mistake, because God saw the good that we are capable of as well as the bad. Today, I want to extend an opportunity for us to reflect on transitions, and not only those of loss, but of just life changes as well. When we experience different events in our life, we oftentimes say that they hold weight, right? So for example, someone is celebrating their 60th birthday party and they're inviting all of their friends and family, and it's an incredible time. That event has weight, right? Or another example, a baby is born happy and healthy. This event has weight. When someone retires after decades of work, this event has weight. But there's also events that hold weight that also feel heavy. When someone close to us passes away, it's heavy. When we have to move away from our friends and loved ones, it's heavy. When we are faced with aging and medical issues, these events are heavy. As we live and grow, we carry more and more. There's so much to carry. But the burden doesn't always weigh us down. Because we experience these events, as we experience these events, we also grow stronger. We become more capable of so much more, withstanding so much more, and giving so much more. Life takes us through many ups and downs, and depending on where we are in life, we experience lots of anger or grief or love. And through each of these and many other emotions, we are capable of handling more of each. The more love we experience, the more love we are capable of giving. The more grief or sadness we feel, although it may not feel like it, the more we can handle. In our Matthew scripture today, we see Jesus reference the religious leaders and how they crush people with their unbearable demands. In another translation, it says, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to move a finger to help them. Heavy things are also sometimes placed upon us. And we aren't given much option but to carry them or risk consequences that are out of our control. Jesus sees these heavy burdens and knows they are unreasonable. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus calls in those of us with heavy burdens and gives us rest. He asks us to take up his yoke and learn from him, to have a humble and gentle heart. It is when we ourselves are humble and gentle that we may better serve. Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 through 12, the greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. For Jesus, it was never about fame or money or recognition. I mean, when you think about it, he's the Son of God. There is no higher place in this world than the Son of God. Jesus could have easily turned and spread the word, I am the Son of God, look at me, look at my powers, look at how wonderful this message. And if I read scripture properly, I don't think that's what's happened. Jesus instead chose to humble himself. He found a gentle heart. He placed himself with the least of us, and there he stayed. To be humble and gentle with each other. For many, all it takes is a moment of grace or a moment of just acknowledging the weight of our own or even someone else's experience to be seen, to be acknowledged, to be heard. Jesus asks all people to see humanity, see the souls of everyone. In today's scripture, we read about Jesus leveling the status of religious leaders of that time with that of the average person. He acknowledges their call and their role as leaders of faith, but warns against their actions as people who think themselves as being better, of expecting others to treat them with respect and be acknowledged as people of status. The reality is that we are all children of God, and there are no favorites. There's a photo I want to show you all that Jean or Hanako might pull up. I can't see the screen from here, so someone signal me. Got it, thank you. So the confirmation kids saw this photo first, so some of the mentors that are in here might recognize this photo. But when the confirmation kids saw it, we had amazing conversations about this photo. So I want to give that opportunity to you folks as well. There are four sections of this photo. The first is labeled reality, then equality, then equity, then justice. In the reality section, there are three people of different heights standing behind a fence trying to watch a game. The first person on the left has so many boxes, they are standing well above the fence. The second one has one box and is just able to see over the fence. And the last person is the shortest of them all and has no boxes, and in fact, they're in a hole. This is reality. The next section, under equality, we see those three people again, each this time with their own box. Same box. Shortest person still cannot see over the fence, while the other two can. Under equity, each person has the right number of boxes to allow them to see over the fence based on their needs. And finally, in the justice section, there's no boxes because there's no fence. There's no need. Looking at this picture, a lot of thoughts come to mind. But I want to offer you a question. Where do you see yourself in these four sections? Doesn't necessarily have to be the most ideal. Are you the tallest person? Are you the middle person? Are you the shortest person? What institutions or groups are we a part of that this looks like? It's a lot to think about. If we look at scripture, it would be easy to place the Pharisees as the tallest people, right? They are people who have social and religious power over others and choose to flaunt that. Maybe some of the people Jesus is talking to are in the middle. They don't have heavy burdens or struggles, but they aren't well off either. So maybe the middle people are Roman citizens. Right? And then perhaps we find in the last place are the ancient Jews, or those that chose to follow Jesus and found themselves being persecuted and pushed away, denied their humanity because of their faith. I believe that Jesus' words and teachings were aiming for the justice, to remove the fence and keep everyone from that, to remove the fence that kept everyone from getting what they needed, or at least to tell those willing to humble themselves that what lies behind the fence may not be what's most important. Maybe it's how we live together that matters more, to see that we are better when we care for each other. I leave you with this image in mind and ask that you contemplate more on where you are and where other places or institutions can you, what other institutions can you apply to this? How can we use this to better figure out the ways in which we are bringing the kingdom of God to this world? Where the Pharisees are equal to the servants and the rich are equal to the poor and all of us have our needs met. A world like that requires a lot of love and a lot of space for anger. I pray today that we open ourselves up for reflection on where Jesus guides us. How can we better humble ourselves? How can we find a gentle heart? That we recognize that our healing comes in many forms and that we are capable of having so much more love and withstanding so much more than maybe we first thought. I pray that our loved ones who have already moved on to the next part of existence will rest knowing that we are continuing their legacy. That we remember that Jesus and the ways in which he taught us to live. Amen.